Prayer is one of the most difficult things to teach. And the reason why it's very difficult to teach is it requires self-knowledge. And self-knowledge on my part is not communicable to self-knowledge on your part. The only thing that one can do in reference to teaching self-knowledge is to inspire people that it's worthwhile. That's the only thing you can do. Because one of the things that's incredibly terrifying about self-knowledge is, of course, the realization that we are a little bit darker than we think. That there's something going on in us that we might not want to acknowledge or admit publicly, and in honesty, we're probably even hiding from ourselves. The very reason why in a darkened moment inside our own house, when we're trying to explain why things aren't going well and we try to convince ourselves it's Bill's fault and not our own. It's that particular self-delusion that prayer is meant to shatter. And this is why Jesus says, don't think that heaping up empty phrases is going to make God listen more. It just won't work. Then why on earth in our Catholic tradition do we have rosaries and say the same prayers over and over again? Are we trying to contradict the words of our Savior? Nope. The whole thing about prayer is not that God may learn more about you. It's so that you may learn more about yourself and entrust what you've learned to His mercy. Entrust what you've learned to His care. That's the hard part. And that ain't easy. That's why we need to constantly say the same prayers over and over again, because the angry God we are trying to placate is not up there, He's right here. We need to learn who we are and make that offering to God. God already knows every nook and cranny of your heart and everything that you hate about yourself, already known, and already loved. An intimate fellowship with Him teaches you how to love that thing too. And to let Him heal it. To let Him transform it. So that He might do great things, not with your best, but with your worst. And that's what shows the glory of God. And that's what truly sets the gospel apart from everything else. And the reason why I really like today's first, like, I'm always tempted to say, this is my favorite reading, but I would just say that over and over again. But I really like today's first reading. Because what God is saying is, if I have said it, I have done it. Now, for the Jewish people, when today's first reading was written, it's given the statement, if I've said I will do it, it will be done. Now with Christ, when He says something, it is accomplished. God's word is exactly the same as His actions. When He says something, it becomes definitive and done. So when we hear Him say something definitively, not in our emotions and in our feelings, but when He says something definitively, it demands our action under the knowledge that if this is true about what God does, I must now act in accordance with what He has said. If He says, like the whole thing about the rain and the snow coming down from heaven, so shall my word be that goes from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that for which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. He sends a word into your heart to console, to be gentle, whatever it happens to be. And then we receive it. And the job on our part is to be able to say, it is better to do that than what I feel I want to do. And this is why Lent is really important, because we have to train ourselves to resist the feeling that we have to do what we want, to do what we know God wants, because we know that what God wants of us is always better than what we want. We use something innocuous, like our Lenten penance, so as to practice for the real thing, for that moment when God knocks on our heart, that we may be prepared, that we may be open, that we may be responsive to what He's challenging us to do and be. And the reason why it's difficult is because we don't see the end story right away. For the Jewish people, when God is saying to them, things will get better, Well, from when this particular passage was written to about the time of Jesus, it actually gets consistently worse, like repeatedly. For a period of about 600 years to the time of Christ, it's not getting better, it's getting worse. And so if you're thinking to yourself, it's like, well, God says that he's going to renew the people of Israel, you know, he's got to stand up soon, because if he doesn't, then we're in a lot of trouble. And so real faith for the people of Israel would be, no matter how bad things are presently, I am willing to hope that God will accomplish the things that he has said he will accomplish. The reason that the Pharisees became Pharisaical, in the negative sense, not the Pharisees of Jewish tradition, but just what we use as the adjective descriptive Pharisaical, is that they lost hope that God would do this. And we do this a lot. We stop believing that God will do great things, and then we settle for mediocre things. And then when God begins to effect what he promises, then we get bitter. Because we've built our entire heart not on God's promises, but what we think God promised to us. I have met so many people who have left the faith, and very rarely have they left the faith because they left it. They told God, you have to do this for me. You've promised this. God never promised it. It doesn't happen. This is either a healing or a getting better or a relationship or a long life or whatever. And then they blame God because the thing that they wanted never happened. And God is helpless. Utterly, utterly helpless. He can't change what we desire. He can only propose. I can't teach about prayer. I can only say it's delightful. Jesus has a hard time teaching about prayer. And even when he does, he just gives us the Our Father. But us saying the Our Father 1,000 times doesn't change what's going on in here. We have to make that first step. We have to listen to ourselves cry in the darkness. We must hear ourselves go through all of those intimate pains and to really realize who we are, and then lay that at the altar. Lay our little bread right here. Not the fake bread, not rice bread, the real stuff. And then watch what he does with it.